Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4 and Philippians chapter 4, both in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 4 in your pew Bible is on page 170. And Philippians chapter 4 is in your pew Bibles on page 156. Hebrews 4, Philippians 4. And if you'll look in your bulletin, you'll see an insert at the top. It says, "He provides rest." Please take that out if you would. And let's join together in prayer and prepare our hearts to hear God's word. Lord, we thank you that your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray, Lord, that you would lay us bare with it today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something about a fresh start that motivates people to make New Year's resolutions and to put in efforts to improve themselves. Behind those self-improvement efforts, we all have the same thing in common. What motivates us to go in that direction is we want pleasure. We want happiness. Contrary to popular opinion, God does not put down your desire for pleasure or happiness. He commands it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. In God's presence is fullness of joy. There are pleasures forevermore. So the issue is not to put down or suppress our desire for pleasure, but to obey God, to glut ourselves, feeding it with the right source. The one that will never change. Every one of us were designed by God to find our pleasure, our joy, our hope, our peace, our satisfaction in him. That's why Pascal, the French physicist, philosopher, scientist, said this: within the heart of every person is a God-shaped vacuum. It cannot be satisfied by anything created, but only by the Creator made known through Christ. And the early church father Augustine said this: "Thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." And that's why Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And he who believes in me, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. 1 Peter 3:18 says this: "Christ died for sins once for all, the just one for the unjust ones, in order that he might bring us to God." The whole purpose of salvation is that Jesus removes the barriers that prevent us from coming to God and delighting in him and glutting our pleasure and our joy on him. Last Sunday at the end of the 11:30 service, Wendell Brown closed us in prayer. Before he prayed, he said this: "Let me remind you of the catechism. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever." And then he pointed out that John Piper changed one word in that catechism, and it brings it to life, and it's right on biblically. The chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. We were designed to enjoy God. Our staff is going through a great book called God is the Gospel. It's written by John Piper, and I want to read just one paragraph to you to give you a taste of what he has to say. "Our fatal error is in believing that happiness comes from being made much of. It feels so good to be affirmed. But the good feeling is in the end rooted in the worth of self, not the worth of God. This path to happiness is an illusion." A clue that this is true is that no one goes to the Grand Canyon or to the Alps to improve their self-esteem. That is not what happens in front of the massive deeps and the majestic heights. We go there for joy, for pleasure. How can that be if being made much of is the center of our happiness? The answer is, it is not the center. Those wonderful moments of great happiness come not from beholding ourselves, but from beholding a great splendor. The greatest splendor is God made known through Jesus Christ. You've already heard at least twice today our key text, Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. And I want to say it for you one more time. It's our theme today. The Word of God is living and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. And all things are open and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we have to do. Now, I want to submit to you, in those two verses are powerful promises. And if you get a hold of these promises and claim them by faith as a way of life, something will go off inside of you. You will have an experience of joy and peace and happiness that the Bible calls God's rest. And you only get it by doing what this passage tells you to do. I want to take a little survey today. How many are candidates for entering into God's rest who showed up today? For example, be honest. How many of you are professional worriers? You have mastered the art. You could do a seminar on it with an accompanying video. How many of you have worried? Just, you got it down. I can worry. How many of you on the inside are churning today? On the outside, you look peaceful, but you know on the inside, you're not at rest. You might be struggling with lust or bitterness or envy or fear or anxiety. On the inside, something is desperately wrong. And you really long to have what the Bible calls God's rest. I want to tell you, this text we're looking at today tells you how to get it. It's a promise. Now, what I love to do is study a passage and go over it and over it and say, Lord, help me to put this into one sentence. And if you get the sentence, you've got the essence of the message. Now, I put today's sermon into a sentence. And I will tell you in advance, when you hear my sentence, you're going to say, how in the world did you get that sentence out of this text? I don't get it. So hang on, because I want to convince you it really is there. But first, the sentence. I hope you memorize it. Take it home with you. Take it to work tomorrow. Here it is. God provides His rest for those who persist in trusting Him. Would you say that with me? God provides His rest for those who persist in trusting Him. Now you might look at Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, hear my sentence and say to Pastor King, were you on something when you came up with that? That passage doesn't say anything about rest, and it doesn't even mention trusting God. So how did you get that? Well, I'm glad you ask. No text is right unless you put it in its context. A text without a context is a pretext. So put this in its context and this theme will emerge. I want to quiz you. Look at Hebrews 4:12. Look right at it. What is the very first word in verse 12? For or because. So we know immediately this verse does not stand on its own. There's an argument before it, and this is the end of the argument, for or because the Word of God is living. So we've got to go to the verse right before it to make verse 12 live, and look at Hebrews 4:11, the verse right before it. It is a commandment. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. And then he has a little comment. So that we will not fall through following the same example of disobedience. So put 11 and 12 together. Commandment, believer, be diligent, work at, be zealous, make it your passion to enter this rest. For the Word of God is living and active. So we ought to learn there's something about entering God's rest inside our soul that is directly tied to the living Word of God. Now look with me and survey the first 11 verses of Hebrews chapter 4. If you read through those 11 verses, here's what you would see. The word rest is mentioned 10 times. The theme is rest. And the text tells us 4 times this is God's rest. So what we should learn from this text, there's something about the living Word of God that will enable me to get a hold of God's rest. And the tool that enables me to have God's rest is the living Word of God. Now go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, and look at how he nails that home. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. So what he's telling us is that the promises from the living Word of God, if claimed by faith, cause you to enter into God's rest. Now let's get a handle on this concept of rest. If you look through Hebrews 4, 1 through 8, I've already told you that rest is mentioned 10 times. And we've learned that it is God's rest. Here's what he tells you in the first 8 verses. This rest from God has been available to God's people from the Garden of Eden to the present day. It was available in Moses' day at the Exodus. It was available to God's people in Joshua's day when they entered the Promised Land. It was available to God's people in David's day. Now look how he drives it home to today. Look at verse 9. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. What we should get from this is there is a rest that comes directly from God. It's available to God's people, and it's available 24/7. Now, when he calls it a Sabbath rest, do not think, oh, he's talking about one day a week in the Sabbath. That is not what he means. He's already told us this is God's rest. It's available 24/7. It's available in every generation. He's not talking about a day of a week. He's talking about an experience that you can enter into 24/7 to be at rest on the inside and know it came directly from God if you claim his promises. Now look with me at verse 10. It'll give you real insight into what this rest is. Hebrews 4:10. For the one who has entered his, God's rest, has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Now let's take a little quiz. Where in the Bible does it say God rested? You were going to say Genesis 2, verse 3, weren't you? Amen. God bless you. Okay, here's what it says in Genesis 2, 3. That God sanctified the seventh day, set it apart. He had created everything. Seventh day, set it apart, and God rested from his works. Now let's talk about what that doesn't mean. It does not mean God was saying, man, am I worn out? I'm taking a vacation. That's not what it means. Rest does not mean I'm exhausted, so I'm going to sleep, I'm taking a nap, I want to recoup. That's not what it means. This is God. God never gets tired. But it says God rested. What does it mean? What did he rest from? He had just spoken into existence all of creation. Now that's finished, so he can rest. He doesn't speak any new things into creation. It's finished. Is God always at work? Yes. John 5:17, Jesus said this, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Now, what he's talking about, and this is the key statement. Here is one sentence. If you miss this sentence, you've missed the whole message. Get this sentence. As God rested from his completed, finished work of creation, so the believer in Christ rests on the completed work of Christ. Now let me show you what that means. Would you like to enter today God's forgiveness rest? On the inside, do you feel a lack of forgiveness and guilt and shame? Learn to rest. Claim this promise. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, all the sin of the world, your sin, past, present, and future, was laid on Christ. It is paid for, finished, complete. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you confess your sins, He keeps on cleansing you. The blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. The way to get salvation, forgiveness, rest is to believe that promise and rest on it. It's finished. Would you like to have a rest on the inside so that you know that before God, you are righteous? How many of you go through the week and you kind of view God this way? He's looking at you. Ah, you screwed up again. I can never count on you. Look at the things you do. You ever think of that? That's not rest. Enter into His righteousness rest. If you have trusted Christ, the moment you trusted Him, the righteousness of Christ was put on your account. You were clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Is God the Father pleased with the righteousness of Christ? Yes. Are you in Christ? Yes. So rest on that finished work. In Christ, there's no condemnation. In Christ, I'm righteous. Rest on it. Would you like to enter into the rest of the Spirit of God, the same Holy Spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave? Would you like to go around 24/7 saying, the power of God Himself is in me. I can do all things through Christ. You can get there one way. Rest on the promise of the Holy Spirit. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. I could go on with hundreds of examples, but they're all saying the same thing. When I take God's promises and His finished work in Christ, I trust it by faith on the inside, I can rest. And I've entered into God's rest. That's why the theme of Hebrews 4:12 is God provides His rest for those who persist in trusting Him. Verse 11. Be diligent to enter that rest. Verse 12, for the Word of God is living and active. There's something about the living Word of God. It's unlike any other word. When you put your faith into it, it explodes inside of you and it ushers you into the rest that only God can give you. When I was much younger, in my late 20s, I was on the staff of Campus Crusade for Christ. My first year, I had 22 campuses in South Alabama. I would go into an area, open a new ministry, and go to the next one. Now, I went to Mobile, Alabama many, many times. And I met some godly Christian businessmen who supported the ministry. One particular man I met, he owned a large lumber company as a devout Christian, and he was supporting the ministry. And he invited me to spend the night with his family. After the family went to the bed, he invited me to the living room and he said, I've got something on my heart. I got to talk to somebody, so I'm choosing you. And here's what he said. He said, I have an ulcer. I worry all the time. I'm full of anxiety. I can't sleep at night. Young man, can you help me? And I said, Lord, help. And here's what the Lord brought to my mind. I ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. I said, sir, I think this will help you. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And here's what we did in this living room. I read it to him. I said, first, here's a commandment. Be anxious for nothing. God commands you, stop worrying. He wouldn't command it unless you could do it. Then he tells you, do three things, and you'll overcome worry. Number one, in everything by prayer. I said, as soon as that worry thing comes to mind, take it to God in prayer. Give it to Him. Second step, and supplication. Pray specifically and in detail about it. Third step, with thanksgiving. Now that you've prayed over it, prayed in detail, give it to God. Say, thank you, God, it's yours. And then claim the promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will stand guard over your heart and your mind. And we shared that, prayed about it. I forgot all about it. 2 months later, I come back to town, and there's a men's prayer breakfast. Several hundred men were there. I arrived late, sat way in the back, and this man I'd shared with was the MC. Now, when I sat down, he spotted me. He stopped the meeting. He said, "You, come up here." And I went, and he said, "Yes, you, get up here." And I walked up, and he said, "Tell them what you told me." And I went, "What did I tell you?" And he said, "Don't you remember when you were in my living room?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." And he said, "Listen, men, I used to have an ulcer. It's gone. I sleep at night. For the first time in my life, I'm peaceful on the inside. Now, young man, tell them what you told me." That's what this is telling you. If you claim the promises of God by faith, you will enter into his rest. Now, that was Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Let's look at Hebrews 4, verse 13. It ties in the same message. It says that God, no one can hide from him, and everything is open and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we have to do. Now, take that little word, laid bare, and underline it. In our generation, if I said the web or modem or Microsoft, everybody knows exactly what I mean. The author of Hebrews, when he said laid bare to that generation, they all knew exactly what he meant. Here's what went on in the Roman Empire in that day. If you had committed a crime in a certain city or a village and you were found guilty, the soldiers would lay you bare. Here's what that meant. They would take a Roman sword and tie it to your chest. So the blade came right here under your neck. So you had to look up. If you look down, so there you are. They're going to lay you bare. You're guilty. They will march you down the street, a soldier on each side, and lay you bare, which means look them in the eye. Look at the people you sinned against. If you don't, you're going to get it. What is he saying? That's the way God is. He takes his word and he says, "Look at me. I'm going to lay you bare. I'm going to expose you for who you really are. You think you can hide from me? Look at yourself." Have you ever had one of those times where God's word gets you like that and you go, "No!" That's what he's talking about. Now, when that happens to you, here's what you tend to do. You don't want to run to God. You want to run from God. You feel guilty and full of shame. So look at what comes right after this passage. Look at verse 14 to 16. "Therefore, since the word of God lays you bare, shows you your sin, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Do you see what he's telling you? The same word that lays you bare and makes you feel guilty and full of shame and you're hopeless, that same word says, go to your high priest. He has paid for all of your sins. He never stops praying for you 24/7. His arms are open wide. This great high priest not only paid for your sins, prays for you. Wherever you are on the temptation scale, been there, done that. He was tempted to the nth degree, never gave in. So wherever you are, he can help you. So draw near to him. Don't run away. Come close. And that takes us back to our theme. God provides his rest for those who persist in trusting him. Verse 12, the word of God is alive. The word of God, if you claim it, puts you into God's rest. Verse 13, the God of the word lays you bare with it. Don't stay in guilt. Run to your great high priest. God provides his rest for those who persist in trusting him. So let's go back to where we started. We're in a new year. People are making New Year's resolutions. We want to improve. What's underneath the desire to improve is a passion for happiness, a passion for satisfaction. God never puts down your desire for pleasure. He commands it, but he says, go to the right source. Delight yourself in the Lord. How do you delight yourself in the Lord? You claim his promises by faith and you rest on it. That's what this is telling us to do. And here's what's so encouraging. You claim the promise of God, it is alive. It'll birth the life of God in you. It'll lay you bare and tell you the truth and make you feel hopeless and then turn around and tell you, here's all of the hope you'll ever need. So this morning, I want to ask you, if God spoke to you and he laid you bare somewhere, run to the great high priest and put your hope in his promises, and you'll walk out of here with rest on the inside. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see all that we have in Christ, his finished work, and rest on it. And Lord, as you show us our sin and we feel so guilty and unworthy, open our eyes to see our great high priest who answers everything we need. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who never leaves us alone and that you pursue us so we can enter your rest. And Lord, today we ask that you would help us and empower us to enter that rest only Christ can provide. We pray this in his wonderful name. Amen.